The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Hey, L.A., breaking news with the Rams. Going to get into that in a second. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dallas, you like the way Porzingis looked? Ooh, all this talk about the Nets and how are the Lakers going to react? You know how dangerous the Dallas Mavericks are going to be? Phoenix, you like the way your team's looking? Phoenix, those are my two teams I got my eye on. All this talk about the Nets today for obvious reasons. James Harden, how are the Lakers going to react? Dallas and Phoenix are not playing games. Anyway, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. The Nets are acquiring James Harden from the Rockets. The whole trade is Harden goes to the Nets. The Rockets get a package, including Oladipo. They got, you know, the Nets sent them Caris LeVert. The Rockets turned around and took Caris LeVert and a second-round pick and turned him into Oladipo. I'm not sure I would have done that. I might have stayed with LeVert. But Oladipo, people forget, was not long ago the best player on a dangerous playoff team. Oladipo's quite good, and he's still recovering, really, getting back to what he was from that injury to his quad. But if and when he does get back to what he was, all right, now they have two recovering from injury guys in John Wall and Oladipo, who, if they get back, that's a hell of a backcourt. Anyway, the Rockets get Oladipo, ultimately, and four first-round picks from the Nets. And they're all unprotected. Like, if the Nets stink in 2026, if they're drafting first in the draft, guess who gets that pick? The Rockets. And the Rockets get four unprotected first-round swaps. That's a hell of, I mean, Dante Exum and Kirkus, whatever his name is, whatever, who cares? There's not much. But Exum was a big deal in the draft, you know, from Australia, 5 years ago, whatever it was. He hasn't turned out to be a very good player. But four unprotected firsts and four unprotected first-round swaps and Oladipo is a haul for a guy who forced his way out of town. The Nets get James Harden. By the way, Cleveland winds up with Jared Allen, who's a good player. And they have a lot of bigs now. You know, I'm thinking they are the team that signed JaVale McGee in the offseason. I'm thinking now if you have Jared Allen, maybe you want to deal JaVale McGee. And guess who needs some help defensively? The Nets. DeAndre Jordan ain't enough. DeAndre Jordan and JaVale McGee back there? Okay, now you're starting to do something with some size, some rebounding ability, some shot-blocking ability. Because the Nets are unguardable offensively if they come together. There's only one basketball. I get it. James Harden's is the guy. Everyone's going to think it's Kyrie Irving. It's James Harden. Well, but Harden is the number two option. Kyrie is the number three option. Understand. KD doesn't need the ball. KD can score in the flow of the game, give you 35. He's an unselfish player. He's like the perfect complementary piece who would make any team in the history of basketball better. There's no one KD can't play next to. Kyrie, yes, he's the number three option now. But Kyrie's been a number two option before on LeBron James's team and played off ball at times. When's the last, you know, James Harden played off ball with Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook at times, but really monopolized the ball. Harden is the guy whose value is most wrapped up in his usage. He's remarkable in the sense that no matter how much you use him, no matter how many shots he takes, no matter the level of difficulty, they seem to go in at the same rate. Whatever it is, 88% from the line and 37% from three. He don't take any mid-range shots. Here's the thing. Kyrie's a better shooter from three and from the line. He doesn't have to be used a lot. He's still hitting 40, 42% from three, whatever it is, 90% from the line, whatever it's going to be. Kyrie's a better pure shooter than James Harden. Kyrie also got better handles than Harden. Kyrie also has championship experience. If Kyrie can get his head together, how do you defend this team? The greatest scorer of all time is Michael Jordan. And you have to adjust for their era. The second greatest scorer of all time, of the non-bigs, of the guys who can go get their own shots, was Kobe Bryant. KD's more efficient. I get it. And he's in the conversation. If it's Jordan 1 at 2 of all time of wing players, number 2 is either Kobe or KD. James Harden might be in the top 5 or 6. You have two top 5 scorers of all time? Guys who can get their own shot scorers of all time? And here's the thing. KD, James Harden and Kyrie, if they can figure this thing out, there's only one ball. We're not worried about KD. We're talking about Harden and Kyrie. All do the following. Shoot the lights out from three. Are great free throw shooters. And can finish in the paint above or below the rim, depending on who we're talking about. They can all also pass the ball. The question is, will Harden have the willingness to do it? I don't mean as a shot clock is expiring, you get rid of it because you can't get your own shot. I mean, a real, you know, or a hockey assist even. Same thing with Kyrie. Will Harden and Kyrie, you know, KD's unselfish. Will the other two guys be? If they are, don't forget Joe Harris. It's not like the only thing Joe Harris can do is shoot. But, like, he's one of those players, I think of, like, you know, Klay Thompson is the ultimate example. Klay can do a lot of things. He's a very good defender. But, and he can even put the ball on the floor, but that's not really what you want Klay doing. Klay is the best shooter of all the guys who do more things than just shoot, right? Allen Houston, once upon a time like that, was that for the Knicks. Not a great defender, but he wasn't Trent Tucker back in the day. He could actually shoot and do other things. Joe Harris can do other things, but understand, he shoots better than KD, Harden, and Kyrie. How do you defend the team? They can all shoot from the outside. They can all shoot free throws. Most of them can pass, and when they want to, defend. But can they get along? 888-SAY-ESPN. Dan in Austin, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I just want to say I don't think we're ever going to see this big three or Kyrie and James Harden sharing the court in Brooklyn. I think that whatever's going on between Kyrie and the Nets organization precipitated this trade, and that the Nets organization would agree with my take that the two players are incompatible, not just for X's and O's, but their personalities in the locker
room. Well, I thought that originally, Dan. I thought that originally, like, this is not a good idea. And I said, don't trade for Harden. But that was before the Dinwiddie injury. The Dinwiddie injury meant they were one of the strengths was depth in terms of top flight players. They were deep in terms of very good players. Dinwiddie's a better than average starter, as was LeVert. Jared Allen's good. You know, they had a lot of those guys. Plus, they had KD and Kyrie. But once you lose Dinwiddie, you need another guy who can create off the dribble. And you need that guy to be a lot better than Dinwiddie because now you have less stuff. And at that point, I understand the Harden trade. It's not ideal, but you still want to compete for a championship, you got to bring in a big gun, and that's James Harden. George in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max? I was just saying, I like the trade. They're going to score a lot of points, but no size. How are they going to stop Anthony Davis when the championship comes? How are they going to get rebounds? How are they going to stop offensive boards? I don't see how that's going to happen. And so all of it's going to look good. They're going to score points in the regular season, but when the championship comes and everything tightens up, they got nobody inside to stop anybody.
I think that's a very good point, but I don't think the Nets are done making deals. In other words, when you look at what they got back, four unprotected first-round swaps, four unprotected first-round picks. But we're not expecting the picks in 2022 to be great because the Nets will be very good. So maybe you use some of that draft capital to bring in a player to help you on defense. I mentioned the JaVale McGee's of the world, right? But yes, you're right. As presently constructed, you're right. Defensively, it's a problem. Who's going to grab rebounds? The Nets have enough tradable commodities now, assets, to fine-tune the roster and get what they need before the trade deadline. Max in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. Mike check, can you hear me?
I got you, Max.
Hey, so I have one simple point I haven't heard yet for all the people who think that the Nets are going to be a chemistry disaster because they act like getting Harden was just a random idea that they haven't put any thought into, but here's my point. Kyrie and Harden are both professional basketball players, and I'm sure they're fully aware of the similar play styles. There's no way that they didn't talk to each other to come to some kind of agreement before they were going to join forces.
That may be, and by the way, Max,
that
may be, but even if they didn't, let me say a couple things. Number one, if Kyrie, in fact, is not going to play basketball this year, you needed Harden even more after the Dinwiddie trade, because now you don't have another guy to create off the dribble when Dinwiddie goes down. And if Kyrie's not there either, now you really need a great player in the backcourt. So the Harden trade's even more important there. And in terms of whether they discussed it or not, I they could have the best laid plans of mice and men. It may not work anyway, right? But I would think Harden in particular is extremely motivated to make this work. Extremely motivated. And remember, if Harden's the hedge against, well, first of all, is you bring him in because you lost Dinwiddie, but also the hedge against maybe Kyrie not playing basketball this year for personal issues or whatever else. If that's the case, then you want to make sure Harden has a lot at stake. And he does. How's it going to look if Harden goes, joins this team and it falls apart? Say, all right, James, you're a great, scorer. Sure, you can shoot threes and shoot free throws. But can you win with anyone? Who do you need? First, you were on that when you were all puppies, KD and Westbrook and Ibaka team. Then you wound up getting dealt. And by the way, you played poorly in the playoffs as a sixth man. You wind up getting dealt. And then you play under your standards almost every year in the playoffs with the Rockets. And first you want Dwight Howard. It doesn't work out. And then you want Chris Paul. Or then they bring you Chris Paul and you want him gone. And now you ask for Westbrook. They give you your boy. And after 1 year, you're like, both parties are like, well, let me be very clear. We're still boys. We just don't want to play together. What is it going to take? Okay, now here's KD and Kyrie. Can you win with anyone? No, Harden not only has to disprove the idea that he can't shoot under pressure, which he hasn't been able to do for the most part, but also that he can't play well with others. In other words, he's not a championship player. Harden has a lot at stake and a lot of motivation to make this work, with or without Kyrie. Now, predicting Kyrie's future is something else. I hope Kyrie's okay. I hope his whatever issues he's having personally, him, his family, anything, I hope everyone's all right. And I hope he has his head screwed on straight. Charles in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, Max. The issue is the defense. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be the rim protector? Jordan is washed up. Who's going to stop Embiid?
Well, listen, I told no one's stopping Embiid, but I told you earlier that the issue with the Nets is they have so much draft capital at this point that they'll be able to swing a deal to fine-tune the roster by the deadline. I'll even tell you what they'll use. If you're the Nets and you have four first unprotected first-rounders and four unprotected swaps, like if they have a better draft position than you could just swap with them. If that's the case, then the draft picks you're going to use are the ones coming right up while you're going to be good. Well, and they have one of Milwaukee's picks, too, that they traded while Milwaukee is good. So the 2022 picks can be used to get good stuff to fine-tune the roster. If they need defense, watch these guys play together. What do you need? DeAndre Jordan needs some help. We need something else. We need a stretch four, whatever it is. You're probably going to be able to get it and still hold on to the valuable draft picks, which are those picks, unprotected picks and swaps in the years 2024, but especially 2026 and 2027. KD weighed in on the Harden deal. Really didn't want to say much about it. You know how he kind of plays the media. I'm not going to give you much. You ask me, I'm just going to give you one-word answers. Here's Kyrie at the Nets presser after the Harden deal was announced.
Losing teammates and Karis and Jarrett and Torian, but also welcoming in, a teammate in James Harden.
I heard that's not even finalized yet, so I'll talk about it another time.
I know you don't want to get into things until they are official, but looking into the past, what was it like to play with James? What do you remember about him as a teammate? Because you have played together.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. He's just going to give you the one-word answer. By the way, this was a team, the Nets, that looked really good day one of the season. Losing Dinwiddie was a big problem. When you think about the team at the beginning of the season, I'd have preferred that to this. And they were using LeVert off the bench. I disagree. I think LeVert should have been starting and Dinwiddie should have come off the bench. Kyrie, Dinwiddie, LeVert, Joe Harris, Jared Allen, Kevin Durant. The hits just keep coming. Now, Dinwiddie's out for the season. He's gone. Goodbye. Karis LeVert's been traded. Gone. Goodbye. Jared Allen's gone in the trade. Goodbye. That's half your good players. It's not any of your very best players, but it's half your good ones. And you got James Harden coming back, and there may be chemistry issues. We'll see. Celtics were in on the talks, says Danny Ainge. Quote, we had numerous talks, but the price wasn't really changing, said on a radio interview on Thursday. The price was really high for us, and it was just something we really didn't want to do. I get the Nets also thinking, don't let this brother go to Philadelphia without Philly giving up Ben Simmons. Oh, or even if they gave up Ben Simmons in the short term, that's a problem. But you know what? After the first game of this season, I looked at the Nets and thought, Philly shouldn't trade Ben Simmons for James Harden. They shouldn't do it because they're going to need someone to defend KD. Now, no one could do it one-on-one, but if everyone in basketball who gets real minutes because they can play on the other end of the court, Ben Simmons is your best bet. He's a great defender, and he's 6'10". Primo in L.A., you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, buddy. I just wanted to say, I know all these guys, I'm listening to them calling in with their detailed explanations for why this, why that. Because I remember when Pearl came from the Bullets and they needed three basketball, because Walt Clyde Frazier was next to Jerry West at that time, because the big O was. But I know they... But you need, people forget about chemistry and like James Worthy. Why the Lakers didn't take down?
Yeah, Primo, you're all over the place. You took me through. You took me through Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, Walt Frazier.
James Worthy.
Who James Worthy are up to now?
Magic. Sometimes Magic is two shots a night. But what I want to say about the Nets, Max, is that it could be a small thing. Like maybe Kyrie found out that Harden was coming and he was going to make $10 more per week than he's making on his paycheck. It could be something small like that.
Well, as usual, I'm not sure what Primo's talking about, but I like listening to him talk. There's something about Primo, the way he talks, I like it. He just, boy, that's some free association. James Worthy brought up half the NBA. Earl the Pearl. Lewis in Tampa, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Lewis in Tampa. I see the little, on ESPN Plus, I see the voice stuff moving, the little, you know, meter moving as though Lewis is talking, but there's no one there. All right. You see, I'm not playing around with the calls today, Raj. A lot of people want to talk about this. They're going to get to talk about it.
They better be ready, man. You're coming right at them rapid fire, man. You're coming at them not just in Axe Max, not just in Last Take. You got to be ready, kids.
I know as a kid when I listened to sports talk radio, when something big happened, I'm like, come on, man, let me get in there. Everyone wants to get in there. Let me tell you something. A bunch of misconceptions for me to clear up about this, including who's under the most pressure, Kyrie or James Harden? That's a trick question. I'm going to give you the real answer coming up. Also, this is the first time in the history of basketball that you've had, well, something I'm going to tell you about coming up. Hey, LA, breaking injury news with the Rams. But just to get you to listen, I'm not going to tell you if it's Jared Goff or Aaron Donald that I'm referring to.
Max, the podcast.
Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the MVP this season.
It's the best season he's ever had.
Idle chatter like that doesn't have a space in my brain.
Jared Goff is the most important player in the NFC playoffs.
This would be an incredibly difficult challenge for Green Bay.
Yes, breaking news that I teased in the previous segment. Unfortunately, we don't live in a world where you could have something in your pocket, like that's a phone and a computer and a camera, and you could just look up on some search engine what the news is and immediately get all the information. You had to wait through that entire commercial break. And it's not like you listened to the Sports Center update, because I told you not to. You were just waiting to hear it from me. So here it is now to end the suspense. John Wolford has been declared out. So Blake Bortles, because of his neck, remember he sustained that injury and that's why Goff came in and led them to victory. It'll be Blake Bortles backing up Goff on the frozen tundra of Green Bay. Goff appeared mostly healthy after being, thrust into duty against the Seahawks. But the Rams midweek, Well, I don't know. Raj wrote something here that makes no sense in English. In Raj world, my producer, Raj, this may make some sense. Here, I'll read what Raj just wrote. But the Rams' midweek needle thread actually seemed true instead of merely coach speak to justify sitting Goff in Seattle, colon, he was healthy enough. Now he's changing it. Now he's editing as I'm saying it. He was healthy enough to back up, but not quite ready to start with another. Yes, Raj? Raj, we're sending you to a remedial English class right after the show. I don't know what the words, you know, words, sentences have meaning based on the order of words and the actual meaning of the of each word that you use. I'm not sure you understand. Anyway, let's hear from Aaron Donald.
In my whole career, just anything, I never really had a real injury. I had a couple ACs and things like that, obliques, but nothing like this. So this the first, but I'm good. I think Raz, they do a great job. I always trust the process with them as far as having me on a routine they want me to do. Just be cautious, be smart, you know, not trying to tweak nothing. Make sure that come game day, I'm ready to go, you know. So, you know, I trust that process. I got to do some stuff yesterday in the weight room. Still feel strong, you know, so I feel good.
Aaron Donald expects to be a full go when the team faces the Packers on Saturday, and that's a good thing for the Rams because Goff, you know, he led you to a win. With a bad thumb against a good team in Seattle, not a great defense, but you ain't going to beat the Packers in a shootout. You're going to beat the Packers if the defense shows up. And Aaron Donald, you have to devote so many resources on your offensive line to Aaron Donald that it makes other guys around him better. Jalen Ramsey is a baller. Jalen Ramsey, you know how few cornerbacks in the history of football were genuine shutdown corners? Jalen Ramsey's played so well this year, I felt sorry for number one receivers at times. And in this day and age, everything favors the receiver. Everything. All the rules are there, and it's harder to play defense than offense anyway. All the rules are there to favor the receivers, and I feel sorry for number ones going up against Ramsey, and yet it's Donald who's the most important defensive player. And he's going to have to be, if not at his best, he's going to have to be great because Aaron Rodgers, at the age of 37, threw for 48 touchdowns this season. 4,300 yards, whatever. You know, it's not a gaudy number, 4,300 yards in this day and age, but 48 TDs. A lot of people still want to talk round ball right now. What's going on? LeBron and AD in a well-oiled machine, as Paul Pierce said earlier in this show. LeBron and AD are favored to win the whole thing. And a lot of people don't like the fit. But sometimes we are overthinking it. The reason I think there's the most pressure on Durant right now, not on Harden, not on Kyrie, but on KD, is people are like, well, KD's already won a championship. Stop that. KD joined a 73-win team. A 73-win team that came one possession away from winning the championship the previous year. Any MVP caliber player, anyone, even an all-star caliber player simply added to a 73-win team makes it impossible to beat that team. KD doesn't get credit from me for winning championships with the Warriors. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. It'd be like, what team came up just short of a championship? The Knicks came up just short of beating the Rockets, and the next year Michael Jordan joined the Knicks. Would we be like, oh, see that? He unbelievable. But it's worse than that even, because it was a 73-win team. It's not just a powerhouse team that seemed to get to the finals. They were considered maybe the best team ever. They were going to replace the 72-win Bulls. Durant joined that team, so stop it. Then he made a very gutsy decision. He joined the Brooklyn Nets. He said, watch this, I'm going to start from scratch and lead a team to a championship. Okay, KD. People aren't going to remember the fit, the this, the that. They're going to know you had James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Did you win a championship? By the way, did you just get there even? Did you get there? Leo in New York City, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Max? I have to agree with you. I think this year we're going to see a Nets-Lakers finals. I thought from the beginning of the season, before James Harden came, I was all for the Nets. After this trade, I got to say, I see a lot of mixed personalities, and my confidence has gone down. I know a lot of Nets fans since I live in New York City. Everyone's hurt by the news, if I'm being honest with you, because I saw a ticket to the championship. I have to say, though, I am optimistic because I know if anyone can handle it, I think it's going to be Steve Nash. He's a player's coach. I think D'Antoni has been able to weather the storm in Houston to the best he can. And Amari Stoudemire being a player development coach, I just think they're going to be able to get it together. I know there's a lot of talk about where's Kyrie and if Kyrie's going to come back. And like wherever he is, I think it's like good. Like let him handle what he has to handle.
Listen, wait, what's your name? Who am I talking to? Leo. Leo has to take a breath, a deep breath. I've been there before, Leo. When I was a kid, I used to call sports talk rights Art Russ Jr. talking sports. And your heart would beat fast as you're waiting. And then you actually get through. Leo was out of breath. He was very nervous. Made some good points. Hey, I want to take another quick one, Raj. I saw a caller I wanted to get to right now. And that is Griffin in Texas with a very interesting point.
Mr. Kellerman, I got the ring. It's here. That's all you got to do. Kyrie is a head case. He is a mess, and it's not worth the trouble at the end of the day. You need the exact opposite of him. The answer's been right in front of us since 2012. You need somebody that's going to put their head down and get buckets no matter what, like their life is on the line. That's Russell Westbrook. Trade one for one and run it back. You have the best ending in sports history if they beat the Lakers in the finals like that.
Well, what I like is you're talking about getting the band back together. It would be the fulfillment of the OKC potential, but in Brooklyn. Which, and a franchise that did, or a city that didn't have a team, when Westbrook, Durant, and Harden were all playing together, you know, 10 years ago. Can you imagine, like, 10 years later, a decade later, they're all in Brooklyn and they finally win a championship? It'd be amazing. But I disagree. I think if Kyrie has his head screwed on straight, the big difference is Kyrie, well, you're right, Westbrook's all effort all the time. I love Westbrook. But Kyrie can shoot it. Westbrook can't. And that's what makes this team unguardable right now. Think of the starting five. James Harden's one of the greatest scorers of all time and can shoot the three and free throws like nobody's business. Kyrie is an even better three-point shooter and free throw shooter than James Harden. Kevin Durant can do that stuff at least as well as either one of those two, maybe better, and he's 7 feet tall. None of them are the best shooter in the starting lineup. That is clearly Joe Harris. Unguardable if they can make this, like, if they can get along, it's impossible to defend them.
Max, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
So I'm watching The Mandalorian with my three daughters, ages 12, 9, and almost 6. And the 12-year-old especially, I brought her up on Star Wars, played her all the movies, talked about the themes involved and everything. And by the way, for all the flack George Lucas got for episodes 1, 2, and 3, boy, that shows you how a republic becomes an empire, don't it? Anyway, so I'm watching this, and there's a bunch of stuff that, like, so many cool things. I don't want to do a spoiler here, but, you know, The Mandalorian's really a Western set in outer space. And, but, you know, you got some great characters making appearances and cameos and reappearances in this thing. And it got me thinking to my Star Wars action figures when I was a kid. You know, action figures, toys, are the one part of the economy, right? Like, if you think about toys, maybe soda and candy, basically their price hasn't changed much. And when you're a kid, when I was a kid anyway, that's the only thing you cared about. Like when you're 5, 6 years old, 7, 8 years old, you want toys, soda, and candy. Their price has maybe doubled in 40 years when the prices of other things has gone up 10 and 20 times. So my mother used to take us to Mays in New York to buy toys. That's the budget Macy's. Mays. And you know, we could get like a $5 Star Wars action figure, whatever it was. This is late 70s, early 80s. And one year, it might have been for my birthday. Maybe it was a Hanukkah thing or whatever. But it was, I could get like a big present. And I wanted the Millennium Falcon. Millennium Falcon had just come out. And it was, got to Maze and we looked at the Millennium Falcon, had all the compartments, the Star Wars action figures fit in just right. Han Solo and Chewbacca and, you know, who knows? There are no rules. Maybe I even throw Boba Fett in there. Who knows? I can do whatever I want. Once you buy the toys, you don't have to follow the script. Anyway, So my mother looks at the price of the Millennium Falcon. I want to say it was like $50 or maybe it was $35, but whatever it was too much. $35 for Millennium Falcon. I just got to hear it, you know. All right, so what can I get? What can I spend? $20. I can't even get a TIE fighter or an X-Wing fighter for $20. What am I going to get for $20? So I start looking around May's toy store, and there's one spaceship I could get. I didn't know if I could get my Star Wars action figures in there, but yeah, I could afford it. Problem was, it wasn't a Star Wars ship. It was a 2001 Space Odyssey ship with little orange figures that fit inside. But I get rid of the orange figures and try to jam a few Star Wars action figures in there and pretend it was a Star Wars spaceship. Never seen something so sorry as a C-3PO with a little arm sticking out of the front of the ship because it can't fit. Cheap parents.
That's cold-blooded, man. And what about your friends? Would your friends get on you? Oh. I know they had the Millennium Falcon. Come on, man. I know they had the TIE fighters.
By the way, I'd go to friends' houses. They'd have X-Wing fighters and TIE fighters. Even my broke friends. Even my friends with broke parents had all kinds of spaceships. They figured out a way to get their kid. I remember one Hanukkah, I think it was birthday, I don't remember. I got the Imperial Walkers? They were so fresh. Like around 81, I was in the second grade maybe, everyone wanted an Imperial Walker. My mother opened the present. Oh, thanks, Ma, I got the present. Opened the present, and it was the scene from the Imperial Walker, like a little, like plastic snow with like a little antenna or something and a few things, you know, and little spots where you could place the action figures and it would go into their foot. You know, they had a little circle cut out of their foot so they'd stand there, but no Imperial Walker. I can't even, I love, you know, watching Star Wars stuff now on ESPN and Disney Plus, but it makes me very angry at my parents every time I do it. Going to hit the divisional playoffs tomorrow. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.